Hello and welcome to Winning for Life Show, an incredible opportunity to enhance your quality of life. Every week, Wolfgang Sonnenberg and his guests present insights, inspiration, universal core principles, the know-how and do-how to live on a higher frequency, different timelines and more. We can all co-create an extraordinary future. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to another episode of Winning for Life. Today I like to reflect some ideas about Christmas market and subpersonalities. How does that fit together? Yeah, okay, I will explain you. Yesterday I was on a few Christmas markets in Zurich. I'm living in Switzerland, and so was interesting to see, because I heard there's not only one in Zurich, a lot. I also took a taxi to drive around, kind of Christmas market sightseeing, something new in my life. I never did that before. Only visited in the past months in the main train station in the big hall, there was a Christmas market. But that's all what I saw. Then there is a big one at a place called Bellevue. It's in front of the opera, close to the Zurich Lake, and a lot of people were there. But somehow I didn't like it really. Let me explain you why. I was really disappointed. How was it for you when you was a child? How were you introduced to Christmas, these events? Depending where you are on planet Earth, Christmas Eve or it's in the morning? I grew up in Germany, so it was always on the 24th in the evening. And there was something different 50 years ago. We normally had snow. And growing up in Germany meant, my guess, after the war, everybody in the 50s knew we need to build something. The shops was not there. We didn't have big malls, supermarkets. So the Christmas market was with snow and smells like the wine with the herbs or the special gingerbread. Everything was a kind of romantic feeling. And when we walked over the Christmas market, yeah, you could get a drink, you could get something to eat, but there were a lot of kind of shops, because a lot of people were selling something in their stands. It was a wooden angel, it was something with candles, so a lot of stuff made specially for Christmas. So it was for us kids always, what was there to see? And yeah, okay, as kids they explain on something, Santa Claus or whatever we believe. And there's a guy in the red dress, by the way, Coca-Cola created it. So, but nobody told us when we were young. Or maybe even the parents didn't know. But it was really a different feeling. And the meaning of the Christmas market was, at least for me as a child, totally different. I guess at that time also the people wanted to sell their products and make money. But it was really a special occasion. And today, especially the one on Bellevue in Zurich, there was nothing really, maybe one or two shops, they had a little bit something for Swiss Christmas. The rest is just different foods. If it's just sausages, currywurst, all those stuff, what are you going to have all year? Raclette, typical Swiss with cheese, you can have it all over the year. Even if maybe you eat it more in winter time, but is nothing special for Christmas. So they did something nice for kids. There was a little hut where you could write to Santa Claus, or they were using a phone, I guess you could call to heaven there. But it was really, really interesting how it changed. But the city was so packed, people, I don't know, from all over the Switzerland, but also from near Germany, etc., came to see the Christmas markets in Zurich. So what is happening there? Why is some feeling gone? Some ways of or whatever selling for Christmas is gone? And why are more and more people showing up, even if it's not a real Christmas market anymore? So in the evening we were reflecting, what does it really mean? Although I can't really say for sure what was the meaning of the Christmas market, at least for me in the childhood it was totally different. And today it's just a kind of gathering, having a reason to go, to drink and eat, to meet. And I remembered in the 80s, it was my first visit to Miami. Florida was new for me. And I remember Pearl Harbor was a wonderful mall. And it was really impressive for me because there were so many incredible individual shops. The last time I was in Florida, there was nothing individual, really. It was all the big brands. So you can buy it everywhere. I remember when I flew the first time to Singapore and had the idea, oh, I need to explore the town, and I heard there's a famous street, Orchard Road. Wow, I need to go there. But what was mainly there? The typical big brands, Rolex, Gucci. Why should I fly there for this? Since the last time I was in L.A., Rodeo Drive. Look at Pretty Woman film and see what there had for shops once. Yeah, there was also a street with individual shops. Today, nothing really. Most big brands. So what is happening here? Is this just simply about money that big brands can afford it or even invest, even if the shop makes minus and say, oh, we have a flagship store on Rodeo Drive. Doesn't matter if it's a minus for us, but we believe for the marketing it's good. Or is something more happening there? Another story to tell. I have a client, a good friend also, in Germany, and he's doing with his company and related companies a lot of marketing research. And in bigger cities where they have in the shopping areas, only the streets where you only can walk, no cars allowed. There they have an office and pick people and says, please be so kind, give us 30 minutes and we play some music and you tell us what you like. And they have in different cities those kind of research offices. And then they get an average of these listeners, what they like, and then they make a program out of it and send it to radio stations that they only play this music. So I can go now from North Germany to South Germany, everywhere. It's the same style of music. So for some unique artists, it's very difficult to be seen, be heard, because it's not the so-called mainstream. And for the radio stations, they say, oh, it's quite simple. We just buy then the mix, which goes everywhere. I guess it's a little bit cheaper because it's not only for one radio station. But, I grew up with radio stations. There was called a DJ or whatever we called them, reporters, or they really researched your music. They gave you information. They were really into it, and you could have hours with very individual music. You could learn a lot. Mostly gone. And yeah, isn't it a little bit pity? And now we were talking about winning for life, and somehow life is gone. The variety of life is gone here. And really reflect yourself. Maybe you saw it. What did you accept? Like Anthony Robbins always says, the quality of your life depends on what you tolerate. What do you tolerate? And why are so many people tolerating that the quality of life goes down? Because the simplicity, or when it's easier to buy the music or just have simple food on a Christmas market, doesn't matter in the meaning of quality. What is really high quality in your life? What you really, really want? And why we go for the easy and cheap way? So that kind of introduction to reflect, and we will have a break, and then we dive a little bit deeper into it.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Start your day the right way with Revive Active's range of super supplements and get the most out of life. Take one power-packed sachet, mix with water, and enjoy a super tasty health drink at work, at home, or on the go. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to optimize your health and well-being to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, and more. No filler, no stimulants, no artificial colors or preservatives. Just the right mix of vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and hero ingredients to help you put back what life takes out. Try our 7-day or 30-day boxes and use code UKRADIO to get a free supplement shaker. Revive Active. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So why is everything so much easier now? There's a big, big change in the world going on. Even long-term cycles are changing. Industry are changing. Disruptions are happening. And a lot of people, even CEOs and politicians, they think linear. They think linear, but life is not linear. Universe is not linear. Climate is not linear. Climate change is something totally normal. Yeah, is it maybe going faster because of the way we live here, but we are not creating climate change. Everything is change. It's a universal law, universal law of transportation. Everything will change all the time. But we had a good period of peace. We had a good period of, because of globalization, of growing wealth, and thought, oh, it will always be like that. No, it will never always be like that. And the Bible is already written, the 7 good years, the 7 other years where you should be prepared. But who is? Most people are not. Most people are not prepared that they lose a job and everything. And so I guess a lot of in the industry, if change is happening, not going for more variety, they make it simpler, simpler, simpler. And here comes for me the topic with the subpersonalities. Because I was wondering, seeing the Christmas markets, and that they serve like the normal sausages says, that on a Christmas market it says, oh, here is a typical Swiss food. Why is a typical Swiss food you have all over the year so important on the Christmas market? I would love something what is not typical for all over the year, but typical for Christmas. Nothing, really. And if you want to have a doner, a kebab, a burger, or whatever, why you need to go to a Christmas market? But people are there, and they meet. We were reflecting yesterday evening and said, if you see them coming together, having the food, having the drink, wonderful if liquor is involved, it is so much more about just connection and not really meaningful places. Now, I'm maybe here judging too much because I didn't talk with everybody, but I remember when I was a student, we were saying, hey, let's meet Sunday there and here, have a drink. And so it was just fun drinking and eating, but not really meaningful discussions. It was somehow filling in a kind of emptiness. Neediness was there. I don't want to be alone. Or I guess a lot of parents today, when they have kids, can we always do TV, give them video games, or just bring them to a Christmas market, they get something new and we can eat and drink. And by the way, the food is extremely heavy and I would say extremely bad. Nothing to do with healthy food. Wow. So are the people in such a need? Is there not really something better to go? Because everywhere you see it, every occasion, oh, we have Halloween, we have this, we have Christmas, and now we just here coming with Black Friday, Cyber Monday, but it's not really about the quality of life. So let's come to the concept of subpersonalities and try to understand how this might work together. I call subpersonalities, just from the wording, the sub, that's not really what should be kind of boss for you. You, your true self is a boss, but we create different personas. And the subpersonalities is like egos, little egos, different traits also. Just for test for yourself. If you have the possibility, just sitting at the moment, just sit and make a very skeptic. Be skeptic. Be a skeptic. And if you go really in the mood, thinking of a skeptic, are you changing your body now? Your mimic in your face? Your energy in the body? Now, maybe if your parent or grandparent or whatever, aunt, uncle, and now there is a little kid coming, running towards you with smile on their face, and you are also looking forward to hug this kid soon, and go in this mood. And I guess you will change. Body will change. You open up. Arms are wide. You have also a smile. There can be another situation. You can be extremely aggressive. I guess you was once in your life aggressive. Can you go to this situation again? And you can make the aggression the aggressor. And then you see you have a lot of variety how you play life. And when we come just born on planet Earth, and let's not talk about past lives or whatever happened in the womb of the mom, we just think, okay, we come really neutral on planet Earth. Like a car comes out of the factory, nothing is programmed, and the owner needs to program it. We have a unique frequency. We are unique. We have a unique fingerprint. Everything is unique with us. But we come in a world which is already defined by other humans. We come in a family. We come in a special culture. And we feel here is something different. And then the typical thing happens. Kids want something and the parents say no. And you know, in the first 10 years of your life, you hear thousands of no's. And they try to make something out of you, like a good person, intelligent person, go to school, and whatever they want you should be, how you should behave. And then when we come on planet Earth as kind of animals, we are not in a state like a young horse or a young cow. They come out of the mom and they can walk. We can't walk. We are so helpless because over the years we developed an always bigger head, a bigger brain. So we need to be born today before we are fully human. That means we are so helpless. And we know this. If we don't get food, we can't do it. If we don't get touches, we will die. So we are dependent on our parents. And when they want something totally different from us, what doesn't feel right for us, we feel easily we are not okay. And some parents are really strict. They say, if you don't do this, I don't love you anymore. Mommy will love you not anymore, and this and that. And they are not making the difference between you are always okay, but I don't like your behavior. That's very rarely that parents are doing this clear. I will always love you, but I don't like the behavior. No, they say, I don't love you. You are a bad boy. You are a nice girl. They connected with the being. And so very early we realized we are not okay. Like my analogy is, I'm an apple, born in a parent family, and Oh, unfortunately, they don't recognize me as an apple. They try to make a good parent out of me, sending me to parent kindergarten, always say what the parent neighbors should think about you. So everybody is like parent here, so the only one who is wrong, it's me. And because I know I'm depending that I survive, that they love me, feed me, be nice to me, or even, that's why also bad strokes are better than no strokes, I want to survive. And then I create what we all do, a kind of survival strategy. And we learn in different areas of your life, different situations in our life, just partly because it's a different situation, partly because we age, we are a little bit different than so-called sub-personalities. Kind of persona, kind of technique. I allow myself only to be like that. And after a while, because the parents say, you are, I start to identify with it. But it's just behavior. But the tricky thing is, when we do this, we create an energetically field. If I identified with this field, then later, if I should be free, should be clear who am I need to detach from this energetic field. Because my true self has a totally different frequency. So that means if I'm identified with something, that's me. And I'm not allowed anymore to be that. I have the feeling I need to die. It's really a strong feeling I have to die. Even if it's not the truth, the freedom would be afterwards if I get out of this energetically field. But that's what we all do. And that's why it starts like everybody knows is all the peer groups in school. You want to belong to a group. You give up your individuality. If this goes on, and then you go to whatever job, you try to fit in the team there. And when we live a life where we're always suppressing something, our true self, then it's quite normal that people go in depression or that we need to compensate. And the easiest way to compensate is with food or even with liquor, whatever addiction comes there. Because then I feel, oh, like it was smoking. A lot of people say the inhaling this, oh, is just related to, oh, sigh and feel better. But we know with a lot of things, we really then also get physically addicted because whatever stuff is in there. So what has this all to do with Christmas market? Okay, I will go there after our next break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So we create a sub-personality. If we identify with her, then we have the problem that we feel we die when we give it up. That's why for a lot of people it's so difficult to change for the better, because they're not truly knowing who they truly are. What is my true self? And how do I go through the fear of dying? It's a survival strategy. And every person also created a kind of war mode, as we say. What if you really feel now the sub-person needs to die, how you react? And you can see special strategies have the same way of acting and fighting, really fighting. And that is so, if you see it and understand it, it is so also partly painful watching it, how someone is fighting and protecting an illusion, a part what they are identified with, and not their true self. So, but when you see those people on Christmas market, a lot of people have their sub-personalities, they need the peer groups, and that's why we have a hard time being alone and being really creative and an individual who says, here, that's my specialty, that's maybe like an artist, that's how I paint, that's my music. Everybody wants to hear this mainstream music, mainstream jazz. That's why wearing a big brand, or if it's a Gucci's and Otho, then I am better. But you are not better because you have the money to buy those stuff, or even maybe have a poor life for these stuff, because I know a lot of secretaries, young girls who have not a nice home but keep their money just to buy Louis Vuitton or whatever, that they can show something. The sub-personality need that and can't enjoy it. Like in my book, Better the Whole World Against Me Than My Soul, I wrote about these kind of addictions. I'm not against all the stuff. I'm just hoping that you don't need it. Because if it's just for you to enjoy it, you can enjoy it when nobody is watching. That's an easy test. Can I enjoy the stuff if nobody is watching? So, and most people, like I said, they have a tough time sitting home and not really what I call an intense, meaningful, an intense, unique, an intense, high-quality life. And that's why they go to pubs and everything and somehow help to forget, to compensate the stress. The main stress is suppressing your true self. Burnout is betrayed purpose, your essence. You're not living your true self. And that you see. The food was awful, a lot of fatty stuff. not really healthy, and people eat the unhealthy just to meet. They drink. I've been there as a student, drinking beer, because I said, oh, a man should drink. Don't be a wimp, drink. So, just to fit in, just to be in the group, I did a lot of things what was not healthy for me. And if we are not really aware about those sub-personalities, and if we are not really capable of consciously detach from them or consciously use them, we're in a big trap. And I guess you heard already, for people, those who had a kind of near-death experience, that they were shocked. Oh, suddenly I saw my whole life, and then they change. Because that moment, shortly before you die, or they maybe were short for a short time death, they see how they were connected, identified with a sub-personality and not with their true self. And also the top five regrets of the dying, the service says, number one is, I didn't live my true self. Can we live without sub-personalities? Or let's say, can we live without ego? No. On the 3D world, with our body, we need to live as somewhere. The question is, if I'm so identified with it, and if you simply see here is the soul and here is the ego, if they work in harmony together, that the soul says, oh, let's do this and this, and the ego goes, yeah, on planet Earth I can do this and I deal that, because the soul, maybe not everybody understands, we need some translator to live here and to do something. The soul can't be on the football place alone, so the ego needs to run and kick the ball. But together, if they really consciously live together, it's great. Sub-personalities, consciously lived. And I want to give you two examples. In the beginning, I ask you, can you play the aggression? And it's like an actor. He can play aggression, but he doesn't need to be the aggressor, really. He plays the role. And if he goes home, he can leave the aggression and the in the theater and doesn't need to bring it everywhere. So I once flew from Las Vegas to Miami, wanted to there just change plane because I had my ticket to Bahamas. I had an okay ticket, but whatever, it was a kind of delay. I came in Miami to the check-in counter there, and they said, no, too late. There's no seat anymore on the plane to Bahamas. And I said, I have an okay ticket. I said, no, it doesn't matter, plane is full. And I wanted, and I needed so badly to be there in the night. I didn't want to have a stay overnight in Miami. So I saw a lot of American TV series or movies, and the typical American, they can be then allowed to say, well, I sue you, undoubtedly. So I played this aggressive role. Yeah, where's the boss, and you have to bring me, I have an okay, and I sue you, and everything. And I got a seat. But as this was playing for me, I did this, and afterwards I was fine again. I don't have all these chemicals of being an aggressor in my body. So I could use it, because here it was necessary. I share another story. Everybody around me, my team and a lot of clients know the sub-personality stuff, like we have also a program for this to explain it, and a meditation, how you work with them, that you consciously use them. So, by the way, we will add somewhere the link. If you want, you can download it there and train how to handle the subpersonalities. So they all know one, that I had a time in my life I was not eating simple. No, it was just as much I could get in my body, and I was overweight, and it was incredible what I could eat and not care. I need food. I did one seminar and exercise, and I was where's the buffet? I say. So, and from my childhood, I knew someone who was quite big and could eat a lot, and his name was Ulrich. So I called this subpersonality, I gave the name Ulrich. And it will explain later how good it is to give names. Ulrich. So with the analogy of the theater, and like the subpersonalities are roles, not the actor, but the roles. Or the actor is not the only one in the theater, there's a director also. It is what we play. So I'm the director, the actor, and the role. So I can decide when, what, and how to eat. So Wolfgang eats different than Ulrich. Ulrich wants to test everything, is never enough, is really greedy, needy in food, craving a lot. And Wolfgang is more connected to the true self and to his body, and knows better what is good for the body. And since we have that clear, that Ulrich is not my true self and has his name, I can really say, Ulrich, now we go in a restaurant and you don't go into the, you stay home. And Wolfgang goes in a restaurant. But sometimes an interesting buffet is, okay, Ulrich, you get a little bit, shoes. But as I saw, I said, energetically feels. You can't get really rid of them, you only can detached. But like the aggressor I just shared, it's good to have it if you need it. And I couldn't really expect that I would ever need Ulrich, but it happened. I was in Japan, and there were the company, it was a big congress, and there were people from Asia, Korea, Taiwan, and everywhere. So there was a big buffet, and the Japanese people, well, maybe it can be very polite, but there was others, they were so tough. And the German Wolfgang, who wanted to be polite and adjust to the Japanese culture, he was kicked short, and suddenly he had a big crowd between him and the buffet. So they came from everywhere and blocked me from the buffet. So Wolfgang had no chance to get something to eat. He couldn't get to the buffet. So Wolfgang saw the only chance is to say, Ulrich, today it's your day. And Ulrich, who is hungry, is greedy, needy, wants a buffet. He made his way through the crowd to the buffet, and we got a lot to eat. So, see, sometimes it can be really good if you have these different traits. It's just a question when and how to use it. Like, if you, whatever rank you have in your company, what you do, let's say simply, you are the CEO of a company, organizing everything. If you leave home, the best is you leave COO in the office. Or maybe you keep it in the car driving home because you make some phone calls. But the moment you enter your house, I think the chef organizer shouldn't be there from the company and go everywhere and tell in the kitchen, that needs to be different. When you go in the kitchen when you come home and say your wife is there, who is there? Some call mommy. So are you the husband or are you the lover? When you go in kids' room, who are you? The lover of the mom, the COO, or the caring dad? You always play different roles, should, consciously. But give yourself names, then you can separate them. And then you know, maybe you have hundreds, for hundreds different situations. For your tennis partner, for whatever, you can be a different person. And then you start really consciously using it. If you're too much connected with one sub-personality, like a theater, it's always the same person all the time on stage. It's boring. That's not really life. So you can change it. And winning for life means you are consciously using the sub-personalities. And like the wounded child, the best case is one sub-personality, if you had it needed, but all the other 99 are healthy. So it's really important to understand that and live that. And I hope with this example of Christmas market, it's easier to understand. And feel free to download it and learn more about it. And start more consciously living and winning for life.
You've just heard a glimpse of what Wolfgang Sonnenberg has to share. Dive deeper into his teachings by following this show, subscribing to his YouTube channel, or visiting wolfgangsonnenberg.com. Connect with us, tell us about your life goals, and start exploring how the universe is here to support you 100%. We can't wait to share more Winning for Life insights with you. Until then, stay connected, stay inspired.